Grab your Bible if you have it. If you don't, make sure that you don't, that you come here next week and we have a Bible for you. So please, we don't want you to be without a real physical Bible. So grab your Bibles. Please turn to Psalm 36. I have no idea what page that is for you. Usually I know, at least for some of you. I want to just, for a few minutes here, reflect on, many of you know that I was on a retreat this week. And it was I'm really, really grateful to you, church, and to the elders for allowing me that time. And Thursday morning, I mean, all week it was really, really good. Thursday morning, I had a moment where God was just really kind to me. I had that one of those moments, I don't know if you've ever had this, where just you just brush up against God's kindness and it just washes over you. And so I want to share some of that with you this morning. I'm going to read Psalm 36, and then we're going to just talk about it for a few minutes, talk about a few things in it. And then again, I'm going to ask you, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you today? So, once again, if you're able, put your feet on the floor. Feel the floor a little bit. Hear the word of the Lord. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O Lord. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of light, and in your light do we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sorry about that. The psalm starts reflecting on the state of the wicked. Saint Augustine, who lived in the late 300s and into the early 400s, described wickedness as the way unbridled desire corrodes our souls. Like it's what happens, it's something that's happening to us. So unbridled desire, our desires that are just out of control with no boundaries, just whatever it is that we're just led around by whatever it is that we want, trying to make things feel okay with no boundaries, and the way that just corrodes our soul, and the psalmist says, Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. Transgression, remember, is to violate a known command. Transgression whispers deep in his heart. You know that God doesn't love you, right? You know that he doesn't want the best for you, that he's withholding, that just do what it is that you want. You'll find what you want. It whispers, it speaks deep in his heart. There is no fear, so there's no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes, like I'm gonna be a God unto myself. So that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. So he can't even see his iniquity. He can't even see the state of his heart and turn from it and see how corrosive it is. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He ceases to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that's not good. He doesn't reject evil. It's just, it's like someone who just can't see. All is darkness, and they just can't see. But they're really self-satisfied in it. And then there's this abrupt turn. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. So it reaches up to the highest place, to the heavens, and it fills everything in between. Your steadfast love extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. And I love this. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. I like that. I love that the psalm says it's like the mountains of God, but it doesn't really tell you how. It leaves us it up to us to, like, in our imagination and as we hear it, to think about that, to think about how is it like the mountains. I mean, mountains are huge. They're enormous. They for all intents and purposes, are immovable. Spacious, they're substantive, right? Your judgments are like the great deep. They're like, you know, if I was standing on the shore of Lake Michigan this week, and I know that if I went across, if I went far enough across the lake, that I'd run into Wisconsin. But for all I could see, that water might just go on forever. Even more so when you're in the middle of an ocean. The places that are least sought out and understood and explored in this world are still the ocean depths. It's your judgments, Lord, are like the great deep. They're unfathomable. Man and beast you save, O Lord. The Lord loves all that he has made. All that he has made. And then this is where this is what caught me, kind of caught my breath a little bit, even though I've read it 100 times at least. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. So back up 2 verses to verse 5. Your steadfast love reaches to the heavens. It fills all the space. It is the most plentiful thing there is. God's love. And then verse 7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. To be precious is to be valuable, or to I mean, the word behind this means valuable or of the greatest quality, or it pertains to something that is rare, something that is beloved and splendid, something like gold, right? Something that's beautiful, and it has these, it has properties that make it incredibly useful. But it's not the most plentiful thing, is it? The precious thing is usually precious because it's rare. God's love, which fills all of creation, is the most plentiful thing and the most precious thing. How can that be? I thought, I kind of caught my breath a little bit and thought, God, how can that be? We live in a world, dominated, especially the modern world, where everything's dominated by supply and demand, right? We live on a scarcity model where the more I get, the less you get. And we have to fight for it. That's how we feel about land and food and finances. Oh man, money. Yeah? Our anxieties are up. We don't know where it's coming from. We say, give us this day our daily bread. But how few of us are actually praying that in anything but a shallow way? We exist in a world where the most precious things are the most, or are the least plentiful things. So I thought, how could this be? Like, what would I think about how, like an analogy for this? And I thought, what about the air? The air fills up the space, at least within our atmosphere, right? It fills up the space. It's plentiful. It's not rare. But if we suddenly didn't have it, yeah, we'd see how precious it is, right? Or how about picture yourself standing at the edge of the ocean, or like me this week, standing on the edge of Lake Michigan and just gazing out at the enormity of the water. It seems endless. It's not rare, but if we were without it, we'd understand how precious it is. But here's the thing, like, again, air and water aren't the most plentiful things either. And we can, and we do often, poison them. Not so with God's love. Not so with God's love. And so as I thought about this, I this is just sinking in on Thursday morning, I think, oh, Lord, we live in a world where the most precious things seem like the most scarce things. We live in a world of just transactions. We live in a world that we think we're not going to have enough. What if we have it all wrong? What if I have it all wrong? Even though I know that up here, guys, I know that up here. I preach that to you all the time. It doesn't sink in. It often doesn't sink in very deep for me either. But what if we've had it wrong? Ask yourself, what if I've had this wrong the whole time? What if the most plentiful thing in all of creation is the most precious thing? How would you see your life if that was true? What if what you most need, what if what you most desire above all other things comes to you at the start and not just at the finish line? What if it's already yours? What if the judgment on your life is given before you perform in any way? What if when God created human beings, the very first thing he did with them is give them a day of rest before they started working? What if he delights like that? What if his eyes light up like that? What if God's love is most plentiful and most precious? What if we came into contact with the infinite ocean of God's love, pulsing and throbbing, his heart wide open? Have you ever felt your heart just wide open? Wide open. We spend most of our time in fear, don't we? How often or when is the last time you just felt it? I felt this the other day. It almost hurts. It almost hurts, but you wouldn't have it any other way. Like it feels like there's no, yeah, it feels like there's nothing that could overcome it. And so it just is wide open. What if God's heart is wide open like that? And what if yours can be too? What if you looked up and you saw it all in the face of Jesus? The psalm goes on using phrases like the abundance of your house, the river of your delights. With you is the fountain of life pouring out abundant. In your light do we see light. So not like the one who's self-satisfied in the darkness, but the one in seeing Jesus also sees how everything else fits, how everything else has meaning, how great the love of God is for you and for me. How would that change how you see? You have many anxieties. Maybe it's over money. Maybe it's over relationships. Maybe you just can't see any light or any hope in the world right now, and to try to do so hurts too much. In with you is the fountain of light, of life, and in your light do we see light. Jesus, in the face of Jesus, the love of God, most plentiful, most precious, given to you before you ever lifted a finger. How does that change how you see? What is God saying to you today? Welcome, welcome to Jesus Christ. He is perfectly able and abundantly willing. Thursday morning, I kind of sat back for a few minutes and just had it. It always feels like it's here and then it's gone when this happens. And it doesn't happen for me very often, I guess. But when you brush up against the kindness of God, like just brush up against the infinite love of God, and just it washes all over you. It changes how we see. It changes how we hear. It changes what we expect. We can breathe. And I want you to do that right now. Just breathe. I tell you a lot that you're loved more than you can imagine. That sounds cliche, but it's not. I mean, maybe it is. Doesn't make it less true. Welcome, welcome to Jesus, all who come. His arms are wide open. His arms are wide open. His love is for you. I'm not my own. I belong body and soul and life and in death to Jesus Christ. Jesus has perfectly paid for all of my sin with his precious blood. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. And because of him, not a hair can fall from my head apart from the will of my Father in heaven. Nothing can come upon me that he's not right there with me. And because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit in me, his love, most plentiful, most precious, makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready and assures me of salvation and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. It'd be easy for me to just go on. I'm not going to. Don't worry. Although you could probably just shut off your live stream and you'd be fine. But what is God doing? What is God saying to you right now? To you, specifically in your circumstance, with your anxieties, with your problems, with your trauma, with your pain, with your joys, with your successes and your failures. What is God saying to you right now, right here? In this moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give us some instruction on how to get together in a Zoom chat if you want to, if you're able to. We'd love that. If we don't see you there, we'll see you this week or for worship as we gather next week. I'm so glad that we can do this today, but I'm also glad that we don't have to. Let's pray. Lord, that's a mighty long sermon for somebody who didn't prepare a sermon. I could talk about your love all day and all night. Thank you for giving me rest. Thank you for giving your people rest. And Lord, would you just let that love, let your kindness touch the hearts of your people right now. The most plentiful thing, the most readily available thing in all of the universe is the most precious thing. thing we spend lifetimes trying to find. You're always there, though. So turn our hearts towards you and open our eyes and our ears that we would know you, love you, desire you, Lord. And Lord, let that love splash off of us and onto our neighbor as we serve you. Lord, inflame our hearts for our neighbor, those who do know you and those who don't. Let your glory, the outward manifestation of your character, of who you are, Lord. Let that glory just shine and be known so that you will be praised. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. If you get the snapshot, you should have the link right there. If you got an email from us yesterday, you'll have the link in the email. But you are welcome to just jump on the Zoom chat. We'll give about 5 minutes or so, and let you kind of like get on and settle. Go use the bathroom. Get some coffee. There's a lot more coffee here when the shuts are not here. So that's been fun. I wish you were here, though. But I'll see you on the Zoom. And just keep praying. God, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? And let's share that together. So may the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. See you in a few minutes.